Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who are brand new to this show, where have you been the last 11 years, my friends? You've been away. You haven't been with me. But if you have been listening to the last over 11 years, thank you for that. And I totally appreciate every single listen that I get on all the different platforms that are available. We have, for the last 11 years, been exploring things together like desire, passion, history, mystery, psychology, of all things sexual. Whether we're looking at the spectrum of human sexuality, the way that people, receive pleasure, and also just the way we express it, right? So much. There's so much information that I have managed to tap into for the last 11 years. It kind of blows my mind because honestly, I thought I would have maybe enough content for 8 episodes when I first started. So yay me. Tonight's topic is going to be about 5 things to increase passion and desire. We're going to talk about this from the biological things that go on, how do you get your serotonin and dopamine to kick in, make sure that you don't have, make sure that you don't get so many serotonin highs that you can't seem to find that anymore and you end up in depression. We're going to look at a bunch of different ways that we can increase pleasure in ways that are sustainable. Yeah, so that's really key. A lot of the work that we're going to be talking about tonight is all work from a very renowned expert in sex, and her name is Esther Perel. Wish I could have her on the show. Esther, if you happen to see this, I would love to have you on the podcast. I think you're brilliant. And in any way that if I am misunderstanding your work, I apologize. But I'm going to give my interpretation of Esther Perel's work, especially the book called Mating in Captivity. If you don't have it, if you haven't read it, it's fantastic. So grab that. And one of the things that I would really like to assist you guys with is getting out of the lull. And one of the reasons for that is, well, for one, okay, I've been in a relationship for 12 years with my partner, husband, lover, all of that. And there can be times where there's lulls. So even, those of us who are in the field of expertise might even find that every once in a while there could be a lull, and we need to use our tools too. So I say this from both experience, but also from the necessity, because I see it in my practice all the time, that there is a necessity to start to find ways to reconnect with your partner, things that aren't going to kill the passion, the desire. So we're going to look at all of that, the drive, mojo, what turns you on. One of the reasons that passion fades in long, I don't know why, if you're watching me on video, I don't know why I'm drawing like squares with my fingers. But anyways, that's my thing for today, kids. So we're going to look at why passion, desire, the spark, the interest in your partner, why that fades in long-term relationships. And a lot of people just kind of take it for granted that it's like, that just happens. And there's a lot of reasons why that is. So eroticism, according to Esther Perel, eroticism is not just a state of mind, and it's not just a physical act. It is something that we have to cultivate on a daily basis. So it needs to be practiced anywhere beyond the bedroom. And we will talk about The importance of being really proactive in cultivating desire and in fulfilling fantasy. What are fantasies? Fulfilling fantasies. So many words there. So we will talk about all of that. One of the reasons why I love talking about intimacy and sex and pleasure here on the Pleasure Zone is because, for one thing, in my life, my body had been violated. I'd actually gone through quite a lot of trauma. Upon reflection, I realized how much trauma my body had gone through prior to even like the obvious, really obvious time that I would say that it had gone through, because there are so many ways that we can just subtly brush aside abuses. And so cumulative trauma, cumulative abuse, especially on the sexual front. And so being able to look at that and being able to renegotiate how I want to be in the world, not being a victim, and not, and it's not just a mindset, right? You got to get it out of your brain. And I recently heard a doctor talking about if you put pee into your water, no matter how much you try to take out the water, there's still going to be like pee left. There's still contamination. So you got to deal with taking the pee out, the contamination or the trauma, in order to get that water back to its clean state. So I kind of like that like analogy. And so one of the reasons why I talk about this stuff is because it's from my own experience. And then I found that in my practice as a holistic health practitioner, that people started to come to me. And they had a lot of things that they were talking about that were generally relationship oriented. They were sex oriented. They were questions about inadequacies or inability to perform. And usually people are looking for, the magic pill, a cure. They're looking for something that's going to offer them a quick fix. And even when you're working with natural remedies, it's not going to be a quick fix. And even then, you have to look at what's underneath that. So oftentimes you have to look at the whole relationship, not just the aspect of the play and the sex part, because that might have faded, but we got to look at why is that? How did that fade? And it's not about age, and it's not about anything like that. We can say that it is, but there's so much more to it. And I talk about all this stuff because I do find that there is a link between our body's ability to heal, as well as our body's ability to be able to have pleasure. So it's like the more we allow ourselves to be in a nervous system response that is calm, connected, and in that parasympathetic calm, we're able to connect with others and we're able to connect with our own bodies. And as a result, we can heal. We can heal, physically, emotionally. We can also connect with others, so we can heal relationships. So they go in tandem to me, that health and sex are very much in tandem. Health and intimacy and relationships are very much in tandem, and I can see that there's often correlations in people's relationships and how their health is being affected, or vice versa, their health is being affected and then that's affecting their relationships. But oftentimes it's relationship first and relationship to self as well, and then how that goes out into the world with their health. Think that makes sense for you guys. I hope that makes sense. I went on a bit of a rant. So one of the first things that we need to really look at is, why does passion fade? Why do we stop being interested in our partners? Why is it that you can be with somebody for 20 years, 30 years, 10, 20, 30 years, and you can say, this is the person I love the most, but we don't have sex anymore? Why do we do that? Like, what do we gain from not having pleasure? So my first question would be, what do people gain from choosing to not have pleasure? One of the things I think is rejection. So what they gain is not being rejected. If you're in a relationship where your partner is constantly not desiring to be with you, then the question would be, why do they not desire to be with you in a sexual way? So if they're choosing to not be with you in a sexual way, what is it that has them doing that? So are they avoiding you? Are they tired of trying to please, but they don't know how? Is the communication off, so they feel critiqued or judged when you're trying to give them feedback? Is the language that you're using more critical than affirming? Because critical language is going to make a person kind of pull back and not be so interested, probably turn away from the relationship rather than towards the relationship. So passion fading over years doesn't just have to do with what we would think are the natural ebbs and flows of hormones. Yeah, those are there too. But if your hormones are in check and you love that person, why would there not be any desire? And sometimes it's the inclination that that person's never going away. The actual stability of it can create the stability and the consistency of things day in, day out can actually contribute to boredom. And then, as a result of boredom, people just don't take the effort to find things that will spark the relationship. So, when you are in a relationship where you no longer desire your partner sexually, but you still feel you love them, you need to ask that question about what is it that has me love my partner but not want to be with my partner? Do a little self-evaluation, because that loving your partner and desire, love and desire are different, by the way, but loving your partner and then not desiring them can often lead to the other person on the receiving end of that feeling, I would say, quite rejected, right? So when you look at the idea of love and desire, I don't really see them as the same. Because what they're saying is that if love and desire are the same, then it means that love can only thrive when there is a sense of security in the relationship, when there's a sense of people being together all the time. Desire, if you have desire separate from love, so love can be, I'm with you all the time, I love you, I enjoy our relationship or closeness. You were utilizing the five languages of love, maybe not touch so much because the desire and the sexual desire might not be there. But if we look at adding some spontaneity and mystery to that space of desire, so we're going to add in, so we have like, you have your average life, everybody's going along, relationship's going fine, it's all fine, and you love each other, but you don't desire having sex together. Now is the time to look at, how do we add spontaneity to desire? How do we add creating space? And how do we add a little mystery? So on one of the social media platforms, I write that I am a mystery unto myself, because I find that as being a mystery unto myself, I'm constantly then curious about me and curious about learning more about myself. And when you add mystery in the relationship to your sex part, you're always going to have that curiosity that will lead you into looking at things and trying new things. So consent, communication, curiosity. We talk about those theses all the time. Curiosity is also mystery. And sometimes we need a little bit of space as well. So I always found that when I would go away for work for a weekend or go on getaway trips with my BFF, when we would be gone, all of a sudden my husband would be like missing me. And that missing, that space, that absence makes the heart grow fonder. It's not just a saying because people like repeating things over and over again. There is some truth in the absence makes the heart grow fonder. And at some point, maybe it can also be absence makes the heart grow really sad too. But then, you know, there's that need for a connection to get back there and sense that security again as well. So love and desire, I don't really think of them as the same. I went on a bit of a tangent there, guys. But, you know, you can be in a relationship for a really, really long time with somebody and you feel like you love them and you'll, you know, you even say to each other, I love you, but there's like zero interest in having sex. So where did you decide that sex had to be boring and sex had to be same old, same old? Where did you lose your curiosity? Because I bet that as a child, you had some curiosity. Curiosity is what would have led you into choosing, you know, different things like sports. It would have had you choose into the career you've got. Curiosity even brought you your partner. Chances are, unless you're in an arranged marriage, an arranged partnership, you actually had some curiosity that brought you to your partner. So where did your curiosity go? Where did your sense of play go? Did you decide that like being a grown-up meant being ultra serious all the time? There is a sense that, you know, being playful and overly playful all the time can be a way of coping with trauma and just trying to cover things up. There is that. I hear you. For those of you saying, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yes. And having play in your life is actually incredibly healing. And sometimes being playful is also really healing, especially if being playful is a way that you connect with your partner. If you both do silly little things together, it's a way that you turn inward into each other, towards each other. That helps strengthen a relationship. Holy cow, I went on such a rant that I didn't realize that it was break time. So I'm going to head to break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the Pleasure Zone, my sweet pleasure seekers. I am Milica Jelenich, and tonight we are talking about the five things that we need for passion, but also the five things that can kill passion. So one of the things that I wanted to really look at first is what it is that has passion fade in long-term relationships. Why I chose specifically about long-term relationships is because usually there is that honeymoon phase in new relationships. And there's often a honeymoon phase in one in relationships that don't have a full-time commitment. So the relationships, long-term relationships, is usually where the issues start to lie, with people losing desire for each other or interest or anything like that. I figure they know everything. It's wild, because I've been with my husband for, I think it's 12. Well, we'll be married 10 years. So we've been together 12 years as of last June. And just the other day, he was like telling me a story. He's like, yeah, I remember when I did this and this and this. I'm like, dude, you never told me that story about you. I didn't know that about you. It was kind of a funny, cute little story. And knowing him for 12 years, I did not know that cute little story about him. Now, the beauty and the beautiful thing about my husband is he doesn't talk a lot, but when he does, he comes up with snippets and tidbits that most people stop and listen to. And the beauty of that, which for some people, they're like, your husband's really quiet. I'm like, I don't know. He talks to me. But what I'm saying about the beautiful part about it is that I always learn something new. Like every single time he says something, he rarely repeats himself. And I've learned so many new things about him all the time. It's fun. So having that, and actually when we first started dating, he was in it for the long game. So he didn't dump like everything about himself on me. There were stories, like little stories creep in over time about him, or from family members, they'll tell me things about him. And he's a bit of a mystery dude just because he doesn't talk a lot. And because he was in it for the long game, he didn't just throw it all out at once. He's like, nah, you're going to learn about me in time. And I remember after like about 6 months of being together, I was like, all right, let's try this in bed. He's like, we're going to make together a long time. We got a lot of moves and a lot of time to try a lot of things. He's like, yeah, we can try that. But honestly, we're going to be together a long time. So, you know, like really, like let's really enjoy this. And then when we actually get bored of this, let's move on to the next. He's a funny dude. I like his philosophy on that. And then, yeah, when there's a time where it comes where you're like, hey, I'm ready for that next new thing now. Thank you so much, sir. He's open and ready for that too. So when you are in it for the long haul and you know you're in it for the long haul, sometimes that commitment is like, yeah, we could do it another day. We're together forever. We know this. We're not going anywhere. We got each other's backs. There's no threat of anything going away. So that can sometimes kill desire, as Esther Perel talks in her book, Mating in Captivity. And there's a reason why, you know, that sort of sense of comfort and safety will create that, is because one of the things is we're not in fight or flight. And I talk about that a lot, is like, if you have been highly traumatized, you want to get to that safe place where you're not in fight or flight. And you might do just well with not being in fight or flight for a few years or a decade or 12 years. Like I've, you know, being able to actually be calm is sort of shocking. And being calm in a relationship and feeling like somebody fully has your back, they're not going anywhere, we can tackle all of it together, whatever it is, we got this. Knowing that you can rely on somebody that much can sometimes, as a side effect, take away the emergency energy around sex, or that like push drive to try and like do something, because you might only have 10 minutes. Like if you were first dating and you don't know where it's going, you might be like, I got like this one night, you know, one night stand to try and like show my best moves. But my husband didn't go into our first date with that energy. I knew him because he'd been working on the house that we now have. I had owned it and I hired him. And so when he came in, he was in it for the long haul. His approach was very different. He also talked about things on first dates that are usually considered like no-nos. He was also 48, 49 when we met. And so he was like, you know what? Here, laying it on the line here. This is what I'm in. I asked you out on a date because A, B, C, and D. A, I want to get married. I want kids in my life. I want this and this and this and this. He named it all. And he's like, how do you feel about that? And most people are like, you shouldn't talk about this on the first date. Dude, he was 49. I was 39, 38, 39. At that point, we were like, you know what? You might as well just say it. It's not like we're 20 and we're not sure. Oh, I'm 20. I could have seven more relationships after you. So I don't know if I want to commit to this. We were both like, yeah, we're choosing this. I'm choosing to be with you. So either we're in it and we need to know what the ground rules are, or we're not in it. It's one or the other. So it was very much commitment right off the bat. So we did have honeymoon, but not in the same way that I'd had it in other relationships, where you have that intensity of sex and trying to get as much sex in so many different ways possible in as fast as you can. For some reason, it feels like a race or something, like a competition. I don't know. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? There's that like intense thing that happens. Got to get all the greatest sex in ever, just because you never know if you're gonna have it again. Because you don't know where the relationship is going and you don't know how long that person's going to be around for. So that intensity of almost like death or things going away is there. Where when you have commitment, that intensity is not as strong. When you have that commitment, it's like, oh yeah, I can count on that person. They'll be around. We could do sex today. We could do sex tomorrow. We could do sex in 3 weeks from now. That's where it's important that both partners make the point to be spontaneous, to show affection, to do things that will intrigue your other partner, to get them interested. It's cute because, you know, sometimes also just reminding your partner of how like desirable you are can help them feel more desire for you as well. So, quick, short, cute story is, the other day, Ziva had an art show in a town, and so we were just having dinner out, and I flirted because this is how I talk to people. I flirted with the owner slash bartender, and next thing you know, our bill comes, and like all the drinks were free, and that would have been like $28 worth of drinks were free. And so when I got home, I told Mike, and Mike was like, yeah, you did, 'cause look at your ass. And I'm like, all right then. And like you could feel, you know, when you feel like you're like, oh yeah, my partner just got the remind that he's got a sexy beast in his life and vice versa. And so it's kind of fun to have that energy, where I think what happens with some people is they'll hide that, or they'll be ashamed of it. And they're like, I got flirted with, but I don't want to talk about it. You can use that to build things, to like, if your partner isn't a jealous kind, like Mike's not a jealous type, I can use that energy and be like, guess what? Dude just gave me drinks. You're with a hot woman. And he'll be like, yeah, I am. And that can spark something. Do you see where I'm coming from? So that playfulness can be helpful too. I'm really big on play, and playfulness can come in language. It can come in, you know, those random spanks on the butt, that I don't even know if spanks on the butt are even so random for me anymore. It's like anytime I walk by, a hand lands on my ass, which I'm really grateful for. I appreciate that. I would feel kind of like sad if it didn't happen anymore. So yay for getting the random ass spanks. Totally love it. And I think what we really need to do is like take the chance to be playful and take the chance to be spontaneous with our partners. And if your partner is neurodiverse, they might not feel so comfortable with that, but you can also plan to be spontaneous. Now that's silly, but I like Mike is the kind of guy who needs to plan spontaneity. It's the cutest thing. I might give him like 48 hours in advance is a pretty spontaneous act. And I might be like, hey, do you want to go for this, this, and this in 2 days from now? And he might be like, ooh, 2 days, maybe. So, but if I just randomly like jump in the car with him when he's like off to do something, he gets really stressed because it wasn't in his thoughts, it wasn't in his plan. And then I've just interfered the energy. And so his that kind of spontaneity is like hard on him. So you need to know your partner too. What kind of spontaneity can they handle? Not everybody can handle high level spontaneity. It can give you dopamine hits and like serotonin hits. But if you're doing it all the time and you're just seeking that hit of, yeah, let's go, let's do this, let's, you know, then even things like overspending and going on trips spontaneously because you just, oh, I feel like it. And then the money goes, but you got your serotonin and dopamine hit. So you keep doing it because it's part of the addiction to pleasure. So there's a level of where you want to get that dopamine hit with spontaneity. And that, you know, serotonin and dopamine with spontaneity, but you don't want to become dependent on it. So having the stability is helpful, and having the random spontaneity is super helpful for bringing in more pleasure. And that spontaneity doesn't have to be about sex. You know, it can be any spontaneous act can lead to the potential for sex because it kind of puts a break in the energy. Of what was going on. Puts a break in the dullness. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. And I'm your host, Milly Tijelinich, and we'll be right back.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm your host, Milica Jelinic, and this is the Pleasure Zone where we talk about pleasure. And today we're talking about some of the things that can kill passion and desire and how we can bring things back into our lives. And mostly in reference to Esther Perel's book, Mating in Captivity, one of the things she talks about is erotic intelligence. And, you know, you've heard about people talk about like intelligence of the mind. You know, you can get your IQ test done, you can get emotional intelligence, but Esther talks about erotic intelligence. How cool is that? That's the other emotional erotic quotient, I suppose we could measure it. I don't know if she actually has a tool for measuring it. Maybe she has created something like that. So Erotic intelligence. Erotic intelligence, and I'm going to give you a little explanation from the way that a summary of erotic intelligence, because I think it's such a cool way to think about it. And it's also it's pretty much what I talk about on this show, but I hadn't really coined the term or used that term. So she refers to eroticism as an inner state and eroticism as an intelligence fueled by imagination, curiosity, mystery, and with a significant portion taking place between our ears rather than just between our legs. So when I talk about communication, when I talk about curiosity and consent, that's all between our ears. That's all the way that we perceive what we're being told, the way that we can imagine things, the way that we can communicate, all of that, much more between the ears than between the legs. And so the more we can tap into our erotic intelligence, the more we can develop our erotic intelligence, the better chance of not getting bored in long-term relationships we'll have. So how do we cultivate these things? So we need to be able to cultivate desire. And that is through deliberate action. When I was saying earlier that both partners need to be able to take that chance to find something spontaneous to do, it is proactive. It's on both people's ends. It's not just one person putting in the effort all the time. It needs to be both sides. Or what will start to happen to feel is like that one partner is turning toward the relationship and the other partner's turning away from the relationship. There might be one person that's more of a leader that gets things started. I'm definitely more of the leader to get things started. And then that kind of fuels the flame, and then that will also get my husband to kick in, and he'll also do things. He's not necessarily the leader when it comes to sex, I am. And that's probably why I have the show and he doesn't. So that can be the case for a lot of, I think this is happening for a lot of men, actually. They're not really sure how to approach their partners anymore. It might be slightly different in non-heterosexual relationships, where I think the dynamics of more in the LGBTQ community, there's more conversation, there's more curiosity, and then there tends to be more exploration that happens than in heterosexual relationships. We're kind of years behind in the heterosexual world. There's years behind that. Even though I don't identify as heterosexual, I'm in what would be a heterosexual relationship with my husband. So that's just why I refer to it that way. But we're kind of behind. So that's my opinion on that. And I think we can definitely use more ways of being able to cultivate desire, get more playful, find new things that can help to get just more interest from each other, to intrigue each other, to get those, to entice, that's a good word, to entice each other into having more pleasure. Like, what would you like to receive from your partner? What would you like to gift to your partner, and vice versa? Just ask those questions of yourself. Ask them out loud too, to find out, what would you like to receive from me tonight? Well, that would be an interesting question to ask if you've never asked it. You might be surprised. Your partner might not want that, full-on sex that you thought he wanted. Your partner might just want something completely different. And since you asked, your partner might be willing to tell you. So communicating openly is so, so important. And that is such a key in being able to cultivate desire. We know that passion will absolutely die with no communication. We also know that passion will die with no curiosity. And we know that passion does not exist without consent. In order to have passion, like real pleasure, there needs to be consent. Even if it's non-consensual consent, because that's a form of play unto itself. And if you haven't listened to any of my episodes on kink, go listen to that and learn more about non-consensual consent. Consent, sorry, consensual non-consent. Yeah, I flipped that around. Consensual non-consent, where you're agreeing to be playful in a way that appears like you're not consenting, but in fact you are consenting, consensual non-consent. So the other thing that you can look at is just figuring out, what are your fantasies? Maybe your fantasies are really, really simple and you've just never even wanted to say them out loud. Like, oftentimes my simplest fantasies are the ones that are like maybe the most easy to get off on, I guess you could say. Because those complex ones, I don't know, I can go into complex worlds and have like entire movies happening, but that's complicated. Usually it comes down to sensation, unique scenario, certain energies that might have been presented or ideas that have been presented. There are lots of times where it could be a reflection of something that I've talked about or experienced, and it's just like a reflection on that too. So yeah, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes fantasies can be super easy, but you know, talking with your partner about your fantasies can maybe help them come to reality too. They can also sometimes lead to real clarity in relationships, and that can sometimes also lead to breakups. So I can definitely say that getting clear for yourself on what do you truly desire? Like, do you really want that threesome, or do you just think you do? Because if you bring that up to your partner and then you go to try and do that and then it just destroys your relationship, was that worth it? So do you want that threesome, or do you just want to fantasize about that threesome? I'm using that as an example because it's one of those like top things that people usually are like, I want a threesome. Most dudes are like on that threesome end. And do you want that? Like, do you want something that could potentially destroy your relationship? So you need to have the willingness to look at all. If your partner doesn't want that, and for you, you have to have that, or it's, you know, you'll never be able to be in the relationship. Well, then if it's non-negotiable for either of you and you're both on opposite ends of the spectrum, it won't work. That can kill a relationship too. So being able to practice things with your partner that help you to bring in more desire. So if you're pretty good at conversations and discussing the things you desire, then bringing up that threesome won't be so hard. But if if you've never brought up anything you desire and then you just come out of left field with something like that, you might find that it's going to bring up a lot of questions like, what, don't you love me? Don't I turn you on? And that can just lead to more confusion, right? Because that might not be it. It might be that you're looking for novelty and finding novelty in other ways that maybe are less likely to destroy your relationship, right? So novelty can come in with things like toys and different play and different locations and all kinds of ways. Guys, there's over 400 episodes on this station, 500 now, over 500. I don't even know anymore. And just in here alone, I bet there are thousands of ideas that I've shared that you guys can use to get out of doldrum. And some of them are going to be ones you create on your own too, because some of them are ones that I just encourage you to go explore, create different ways to play with, like even creating your own games to, you know, find a new location with a new position with a toy on top of that, maybe some food, have some fun. And you have, you know, five locations, five different toys, five different positions, five different foods. Go for it. That's so many variations. Right there, I can't do the calculations, permutations, and combinations on that one, but that's a lot of 5 times 4, but in so many different permutations and combinations can bring a lot of fun. And that isn't a lot of ideas to come up with. So you can see how that can open things up. And it can also bring spontaneity because you're just pulling out of a hat. Let's try this. Whatever's in that hat is a yes. So let's play with that. If you're not really sure what I'm talking about how to even do that, you can feel free to connect with me through my website, mielitsayelenich.com. Happy to chat with you. Send me an email. If you need to, you know, book a time, we can do that. But sometimes I can answer your questions pretty quick in an email too. So feel free to connect anytime. If I don't respond to you within usually 48 hours, then it might have landed in my junk. So try again. All right. So how do we not get bored, guys? That's kind of the key. I think, do you get that kind of as the gist right now? Is that boredom, doldrum, and that sense of safety, as much as safety is fantastic for the nervous system, safety with no spontaneity can lead to boredom. Safety and spontaneity can lead to long time, lots of fun, desire, commitment, passion, build up, orgasms all over the place. So yeah, those are, hello, how beneficial is that? So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. I'm Milica Jelinic, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you have been enjoying this show, this The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network with me, your host, Milica Jelinic, if you've been enjoying it, can you just head over to iTunes and search up The Pleasure Zone? Give it a great big 5-star review. I'd so appreciate that. Also, on any platform where you can like, comment, and share, please do so. It really helps to motivate me to keep going and creating these episodes for you guys. If you do have I have over 730 episodes. Wow. If you do have any topics that you would like me to talk about, or if you happen to be somebody who works in the field of sex and intimacy and would like to be on the show, please do connect. So one of the things I want to like give you guys a real quick recap, right? So recap on here is one of the things that we don't want to do. Just want to avoid replacing, you know, we want to avoid routine. You don't want, you know, some routine is great, but routine all the time can be a passion killer. So don't let your routine replace curiosity, because curiosity can open doors and that can bring back the desire, the interest from your partner, entice them to want to play with you, to try things out. Also, don't suppress your fantasies. If you have fantasies that you know that your partner will never be interested in, just utilize them for your own self-play. But you can also bring that energy forward and bring that to get your body to wake up and then maybe desire to do other things with your partner. Some fantasies you might want to play out totally. Maybe you want to do costume play. Maybe you want to do, there's so many kinds of play, guys, hundreds of thousands of different ways to play with your partner. I just bring up costumes because it's near Halloween for any of those of you listening live. Bring in the play. And you want to make sure that you have play, playful conversations. Play like, you know, spanks on the butt. Play like saying goofy, silly things to each other that make you giggle and kind of turn you on. All of that's fun. Use, you know, language that even if you're uncomfortable with it, like using some foul language if your partner's into that, or if your partner's into like silly words for their genitals, whatever turns you on and floats your boat, as long as you've both agreed on it and there's consent, you're good to go. You also want to make sure that you prioritize connection over, say, we'll call it productivity. So you want to prioritize connection so that everything you're doing with your partner will feel deeper and deeper and more intriguing and more interesting. Productivity would be where the outcome is orgasm, and that's all we're trying to achieve is orgasm. But there's that just lends to trying to find ways that the body operates, not the way that the body receives pleasure. The way the body operates is that stimuli stimulate the body. Pleasure is a whole other dynamic way of engaging the brain and then different hormones being released and then having your body come alive. It's a very different experience than productivity and just trying to achieve orgasms over connection. Connection is key. So what do we want to do? We want to connect. Who do we want to do it with? Whoever we love. Yes. I'm so like never a cheerleader. Can you tell? All right. So what is it that makes you feel alive and desired? Because you probably know what doesn't make you feel alive or desired. And one of the things to really check in with is trying something new, even like one new experience a week. Because one new experience a week can get, you know, the dopamine system in your brain activated, and it can help you feel excited, can help you feel motivated to seek out more new things. But also you don't want to have it on all the time, because like if you're doing this every single day or 10 times a day, you're trying something new, it can become like almost stressful to the body, and there might not be a deeper sense of fulfillment. So you do want to have a feeling of reward, but you also don't want to overdo it to the point where you get exhausted by thinking you have to constantly seek reward. So there is like a whole conversation on the neuroscience behind pleasure as well. So if that's something you're interested in, I do think I've done some shows about like the neuroscience behind that, especially talking about dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins, the dose of happy hormones. And I have an entire program on my website dedicated to the different things you can do to get your happy hormones going. So those are all helpful in bringing back passion and desire and connection with your partner and, you know, waking everything all up again. I think it's really important to just remember that erotic intelligence is really more between our ears than between our legs. So we do need all those things like curiosity, imagination, conversation, and mystery, learning new things about each other all the time, and being willing to be a mystery as well, to learn new things about yourself all the time. So thanks to Esther Perel's work, because it was a great inspiration for tonight's show. And also, you know, you guys for listening, because without you, I wouldn't even bother. I mean, I could talk to myself all day long, but I think that would land me in the mental health ward. So knowing that I have listeners out there, you know, whether I have a handful or I have thousands, definitely helps me feel motivated to keep going. It's my little dopamine hit for the week. Actually doing this show is one of those things that gives me a little dopamine hit every week, because I get to share information with you guys, be vulnerable, be out there, and get a sense of reward for being able to share all this information with you guys. So if that's something you'd like more of, if you would like to connect with me, I would be thrilled and happy to connect with you. Remember that you can always find me on Inspire Choices Network, where you can find all the episodes, but you can also find them on over 70 platforms like Apple Podcasts and, you know, YouTube and all of that. But you can connect with me through my website, milicajelenic.com. I have a lot of different things coming up and going on, including, you know, half-day workshops, weekend workshops. And you can always work with me from a distance via Zoom. So lots of different ways to connect and work with me. And I'd happy to work with you on any of the topics that I talk about on this show. So please do connect.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.